Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
All right, Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4, 4. It says this, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. So Philippians, I'll give you a very quick background, is the epistle of joy, the epistle of joy. And joy is that feeling of elation that you have, even if you're going through difficult times. It doesn't really depend on your circumstances. So happiness revolves around our happenings, what's going on in our life, but joy is independent of that. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And this is called the epistle of joy because though the church at Philippi is being persecuted, they have incredible joy. Are y'all with me? So even though they're going through hard times and difficulties, they've got joy. And so, again, Paul reminds them, always be full of joy in the Lord. But here's what happens when we're going through difficult seasons in life, is because we're human, because we do not know everything, anxiety and worry begin to creep in. So he says this in verse 6, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. And I've shared with you before, last year I battled anxiety disorder and panic disorder, and I was reading an article from a theological perspective on those things. And if you think about it, really rationally and logically, we should always be worried, like perpetually worried and anxious. We should be. Y'all know that? Because we cannot know everything and be everywhere. So here's the thing. How do you know right now, as you're sitting here in these comfy chairs, that someone's not breaking in your car right now? Could be happening right now, right? How do you know that sitting right here, right now, that your home is not being broken into? Your work laptop, someone may be stealing it right now, right? How do you know that there aren't cancer cells in your body that are metastasizing and forming right now? How do you know? Right? You don't know. And if you think about it, we should always constantly be worried. In this article I read, they say, we don't even know. There may be a comet heading to the planet Earth right now that's going to destroy everything by the end of today, right? It could happen. So he says that we have so many things in life to worry about because we can't know it all and see it all. Are y'all with me? We can't control it all. So he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so this is a verse that I have to go over, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, over and over and over again. I have to cast all my anxieties and cares on God because he cares for me. And that's what Paul says here. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Break in your home, cars, all these things that we tend to worry about. Let me ask this. How many parents in here worry about your kids? Worry about your kids. Parents worry about your kids, right? Especially as like now there's like more and more stuff in this world to be afraid of. Amen? But here's the thing I thought about, again, being in ministry, and I hear this from parents all the time. I know you want the best for your kids. We all want the best for our kids. Amen? And so they want like the perfect kids ministry, the perfect youth ministry, the perfect their perfect friends, a perfect school, the perfect teachers, right? To ensure that this fear or dread they have that their kids are going to turn out all jacked up, right? Hate the Lord and all that. If I can just control all those things, then my kids are going to love the Lord and serve the Lord, be committed to him. But here's the thing. You can't control those things. You can't. And I was going to share too. So hopefully y'all know my kids, Kim and Grace. I feel like they're walking with the Lord. They love him. They serve him. And I was thinking about their experience growing up in church. They had terrible children's ministry experience. They never had like the roller coaster in the children's ministry and the, you know, the graphic Bibles and stuff and all the full productions. They never had that. And for both of them, Kimmy had, I think, 4 different youth pastors growing up. And Grace had 5 different youth pastors. They never had one consistent youth pastor with one consistent ministry. And yet, they love the Lord. And they serve him. Because there's only so much that as parents we can control. Amen? We try to control it all, and we do want the best. I'm not saying don't have the best for your kids, but I found this, that really for a lot of our kids as parents, it's what you model as parents. You can have amazing youth ministry, amazing kids ministry with godly teachers and amazing videos and field trips and outings and lock-ins and all that. Those things are all great. But what I found is that most kids, and having worked in youth ministry, is consistency and seeing it with their parents. I remember many times talking to youth at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, and they would say, man, I love Oak Cliff. I love the youth ministry. I love that you invest so much in us. But can I ask you a question? Why is it that my mom and dad cuss like sailors when we're home, and they're so hypocritical about their faith? And these kids were seeing that. And so they said, we see one thing Sunday morning and on Wednesday nights, but something totally different on other days. So he says, instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And this is why it's important for us to thank God for all he has done. Because all of us in here, that's why we have communion, is we suffer from amnesia. We suffer from spiritual amnesia. We believe that we cannot trust God for the future because we forget about what God has done for us in the past. Y'all with me? And that's why he says, you need to go to God and have a track record. Let me ask this. How many of y'all in the past have ever been in a jam, a pickle, or a pinch? Anybody ever been in a jam, pickle, or pinch? Financial pinch, health pinch, family crisis? Ever been in that? And do you remember how God got you through it? Do you remember that? And so if you're facing a challenge in the future, you think you can trust that same God? Yes, right? But we often forget about what God has done for us. And that's why he says, thank him for all he has done. At our elders' retreat in July, we'll be sharing more in the coming months. This is the verse we land on, Philippians 4:6. Because as elders, it seems like we worry a lot about stuff. Or I was afraid about stuff. Instead, we should be praying about everything, telling God what we need as a church, but also we spent the first half day thanking God for what he's done. Because we have so quickly forgotten. We look at all the things in the future. Well, we're going to plant the church. We're going to do this. We're going to staff this. We're going to hire this. What are we going to do? And we've forgotten about how God has been faithful to Cedar Refuge. We spent the first half day just thanking God for what he's done. And look at verse 7. Here's the promise. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. He says, if we will thank God for what he's done in the past, God has a track record, he's been faithful. He says, then we can ask God, saying, God, I'm facing this pickle, this pinch, this situation. Or even, God, I'm afraid and worried about these things in the future. He says, then the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. And that word guard literally is like an armed sentry. So I was reading years ago about Fort Knox. Fort Knox has the bullion deposit for the gold bullion deposit for America. They have like fences and armed sentries that are around it. Three levels of security. And God says, you will have that kind of peace that guards your heart and mind. And can I just ask you this? Have you ever been in a situation where you hear rumors that pink slips are coming? You hear rumors as you watch the news that the economy is going to take a downturn in 2020. Have y'all heard that? And yet you hear all these things, and God gives you peace. Have you had that before? Many years ago, I worked as a bivocational pastor. I pastored, and I was also a personal trainer. And I was the only trainer on staff that had a wife and family. Everyone else was single. And the job provided health insurance for us as well as our paycheck. And I remember the gym was sold to a new owner. And the new owner said, hey, we're looking at doing some restructuring. You know what that means, right? I mean, y'all about to get fired, all right? And so we were like just all sitting there knowing that changes were coming. And my coworkers who weren't Christians were so scared and anxious. But I said, God, I know that you love my wife. You love my kids even more than I do. And we're here serving you, trying to be this bivocational church planter. We're serving you, and I'm trusting that you will provide for my family. And the day came that the CEO owner came and said, hey, personal training staff, we've decided to basically cut your health insurance and move you to contract laborers. You'll no longer have a salary at all. We're going to move you, no insurance, you pay for yourself and your contract laborers. And my coworkers, literally, they were all single. We're like, oh, no, what are we going to do? Whatever. And God gave me this supernatural peace. And they looked at me and said, Icky, you're married and you have two young kids. Aren't you worried at all? And I said, you know what? God and I have a track record. God's been faithful to me and my family in the past, and I'm trusting God to be faithful to us in the future. And I've got a peace. So he says, that peace will guard your heart and mind. Matthew chapter 6, 25 through the end to chapter 7, it's all about Jesus saying, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. You have enough troubles every day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be afraid of tomorrow because none of you can control tomorrow. You can't even control most of today. He says, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Instead, he says, look at the lilies, look at the bird, his eyes on the sparrow. You've never seen a sparrow or a lily in the counselor's office getting counseling because they're so anxious and worried. You've never seen sparrows like ingesting Xanax because they're so panicked and worried. He says, because they know God is going to provide for them. And so he says the same to us as well, that you can trust God for your tomorrows. And again, I'll be honest and frank and transparent. This is hard for me to do. Like I said, every Sunday we do communion. I get a little anxious. I get really anxious because I'm like, what happens if I forget their name? And they say, well, I'm upset at you. I've been coming here for a year, 2 years, and how can you forget my name? I'm out of here. And I get anxious about that. But I'm like, God, I trust you. Amen? Are y'all with me? And so often again, anxiety and worry is fears about the future of things that probably won't even happen. Let me close with this. And let me just say this to you. I was meeting with our staff this week, and I've just sensed for like last year or two that there's just a general sense of anxiety and fear in our congregation. I don't know what the source is. If it's our world, you know, we're coming up on election season 2020, and all the people voting are saying, you know what, if you do not vote for me, America is going to be like terrible. You should be very afraid. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose whatever you care about. You're going to lose it unless you vote for me. And it's motivated by fear. Have y'all seen that before? It's very fear-driven advertising. I don't know if it comes from the world, if it comes from this possible crash in the economy in 2020. Again, I've been watching the news, CNN, that what happens if the economy crashes and we all lose our jobs? And what's going to happen if our housing prices go down and college expenses go up? And you're talking to someone with two kids in college right now. $60,000 a year for Grace's tuition and room and board. $60,000 a year. $30,000 for our younger daughter. But you know what? We've seen God provide for this family over and over and over again. So naturally, we may be worried, but we've given that to God and we're trusting him. So here's my encouragement to you as your pastor is during times when you think things are going to get difficult, when you have fear and anxiety and worry, maybe you're about to get married, maybe there's new changes coming up in your work, maybe you're about to graduate, that you would trust God. You would trust God. Prisca's here. She's getting married in 2 weeks. I was just talking to Gemmo yesterday. I've been praying. I said, Lord, would you give me a word for them for their wedding charge? God gave it to me yesterday. It's going to be Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's a reason why we do not need to fear is because we believe that God is with us. You believe that? And that's something you need to walk with every single day of your life as a child of God, that God is with me. I'll close with this. My wife and my daughters, they know I hate surprises. Like I get anxious because I can't control stuff, right? So they said, hey, for your birthday this year, just trust us. Right? Trust us. And I'm like, okay. So we pick up my wife from work and we drive and she says, go this way, this way, this way. She's not telling me where we're going. She knows I love this one particular restaurant because I can control what I eat there, all right? Says she takes me to Velvet Tacos, right? And I'm like, okay, this is all right. And then she's, all right, now get back in the car and follow our directions. We're driving and driving again. And I'm like getting anxious. Like I'm like, okay, I know where we are now, but now where is this, where is this? And finally we get to the destination. They decide to take me rock climbing. And I haven't been rock climbing in probably like a decade. And so when we're going rock climbing up these like sheer like faces up, probably like 60, 70 feet up in the air, this is what they do. They clip you into this little harness that connects up to the top, and there's like a rope system that's already connected. And so here's the thing. They said, you know what? It may not seem like it, but this rope has a little tension spring. The moment you start falling, it will catch you. You have to trust it's going to catch you. And so I'm clipping in, and I'm climbing, and Grace loves to climb as well, and she's much more graceful than I am. We're climbing up to the top, and then this is what I do. Have you ever, like, gone rock climbing and looked down? And all of a sudden, fear and dread, like, consume me and paralyze me. But then I remember what the instructor said. He says, if you fall, this rope is going to catch you. It may not feel like it initially, but trust the rope. It's going to catch you. And so finally, I came back calm, relaxed, and focused back on climbing, and I got to the top and smacked the top of it. But then they said, now what you have to do once you get to the top is, by faith, jump back, because this rope is going to catch you as you, and it'll bring you slowly back down to earth. And so have you ever done that before? And that's what I did. I got to the top. I'm like 80 feet above the ground. If this thing doesn't work, I'm dead, and y'all looking for a new pastor. And I said, by faith, knowing that this rope is with me, I jumped back and came down really slowly down to the bottom. And that's what God reminded me of. God says, you know what? You may feel afraid, feel anxious. I got you. I'm connected to you. Stay connected to me, and I got you. Don't be anxious for anything, because I got you. So again, I don't know where this fear, this dread, this anxiety and worry comes from in our body and even with our leaders and our staff. But God is saying to us, he's with us. Y'all believe that? He's with us. That's why we have a time of corporate worship to remind ourselves that our God is with us and for us. And that you may be afraid of job changes, the economy, your health, your marital status, whatever it may be. But God says, you know what? I got you. I'm with you. Let's pray. God, thank you for this curveball today. Just a little snippet from what you've been teaching me. To not be anxious, your eyes on the sparrow. The lily is clothed, even though it doesn't go shopping at Nordstrom's or any fancy place. Because you've clothed the lily and you've fed the birds, fed the sparrow. And God, you have met our greatest need in Jesus Christ. We have no worry or fear about the future eternally because you've met that great need in Jesus Christ. God, you've got a track record with us. God, we can count all the times that we have been in desperate need, and you've met us. God, I can think of all the many times here at City Refuge as well, where there are times perhaps we should have been anxious, worried, or scared, and yet, God, you met us. You were with us. You delivered us. God, it's been a very difficult last couple weeks. But God, I'm grateful that you have been with us. Thank you, God. God, I pray that this week you'd remind us that you're with us, whether we're at work or school. I know even just praying with some who just burden, serving in hospitals, going to grad school. You remind them that you're right there with them. Your presence near. The kingdom of God, the rule of Jesus Christ, right there with them. When we face injustice, when we see ads and commercials and the news of all the dangers in the world, of all the things to be afraid of, both for ourselves and for our children, and our grandchildren. Oh God, that we would trust you. We ask it all in Christ's name. All God's people said.